Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And later today, I will be a guest on a Denver radio show. Gino Geraci, pastor of a local Calvary Chapel church, is having me on to talk about Christian political strategy, focus on the strategy. And that'll be enjoyable. That's on KRKS 94.7 FM at 4:30 this afternoon. Okay. Now, in the news, Samuel Alito has issued his first vote. And with this vote last night, the day after he was confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court, he split with the conservative wing of the Supreme Court and sided with the more liberal wing on a stay of execution for an admitted rapist murderer. Now, we'll talk about that case. And that will lead us to talk about the death penalty in general. And remember, I urge you to read our article on the death penalty, God and the Death Penalty. And if you Google God and the Death Penalty, or just the words God, death penalty, you get about 5.5 million websites, million web pages, million hits, 5.5 million that have articles or information that reference God and the death penalty. And U.S. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, his article is number 2 on that list of 5.5 million. And our article is number 1, God and the Death Penalty, New Testament Support for Capital Punishment. And you owe it to yourself to read that. For a brief but somewhat comprehensive Bible study on the issues regarding the death penalty and what does the New Testament say in support of the death penalty. And it's amazing how much support there is, okay? And then also this month, we've begun our telethon. Every February, we have a telethon to help keep Bob Enyart Live on the radio in Colorado for yet another year. And our goal is $10,000 in one-time gifts and $1,000 in people signing up for subscriptions to our monthly Bible study album, our monthly video, the monthly Best of Bob, 8 Best Shows of the Month. You get all these in the mail and monthly sermons. It's a lot of fun. So if you can, please call us 800-8-ENYART, or you could do this online at kgov.com and make a donation at our online store, or you could subscribe online and just put in the notes you want this to go toward the telethon goals, or you can call us at 800-836-9278 and say, I'd like to make a pledge for the February telethon to keep Bob Enyart Live on the air in Colorado for the next year. So please help. We need your help. Without you, we cannot continue broadcasting. Okay, so the new Supreme Court Justice, Samuel Alito, has split with the court's conservative wing. Now, I'll take this mostly from, I've got an Associated Press story here, a Reuters story. And this vote was last night when Alito voted with Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the other more liberal justices in at least temporarily staying the execution of a Missouri death row inmate. And with the appeal they voted on last night, he's contesting lethal injection. He says lethal injection carries the risk of undue suffering. And so this is Alito's first ruling on the first day after his confirmation. And it doesn't really tell you how he will rule eventually on this case. A judge often will stay a case and then rule and say, no, the execution should proceed, for example. Well, let's see. Let's look at the case first. The murderer, confessed murderer, he is Michael Taylor. And he murdered 15-year-old Ann Harrison 17 years ago. So he's now been in prison longer than her short life lasted. So the victim was a 15-year-old girl, Ann Harrison, and she was waiting for a school bus in front of her home when Michael Taylor and an accomplice kidnapped her. They kidnapped her back in 1989, and they ended up raping her and murdering her. And then Taylor has been quoted as saying, I pled guilty, and I told the victim's family, I let them know how sorry I was. Well, that's good. When you're guilty, you should plead guilty, and you should be sorrowful. And also, you should be willing to be punished for your crime. And the only reasonable punishment is execution for the crime of murder. In fact, God commands execution for every murderer, not for the worst murderers, but for every murderer. All right. So, well, there were two separate appeals, actually, and I'm not sure from the news reports if Alito voted on the first appeal, which was a claim of racism in the case, since Michael Taylor is black and the girl he raped and murdered, Ann Harrison, she was white. So it doesn't matter, right? If a black man murders a black victim, he should be put to death. If a white person rapes and murders a white victim, he should be put to death. It doesn't matter. In fact, if the death penalty was used more often for the black community than the white community, that would not be bad treatment of blacks. It would be bad treatment of whites, because God gave the death penalty in mercy to deter our children from growing up to becoming murderers and rapists and kidnappers. So if the death penalty was only applicable to one state in the nation, I would lobby that it would be here in Colorado. And if it was only applicable to one church in the nation, members, I'd say let it be Denver Bible Church, since I attend that church. I pastor that church. If the death penalty was only applicable to one family, out of love for my children, I would say, please let it be for my family, because God gave the death penalty. God promises that a swift and painful death penalty will be a deterrent to crime. And so when people are angry or they're whatever in a state of mind that they're going to commit a crime, they will think twice, because they'll think of the swift and painful death penalty, and they will be deterred, many of them, a majority of them, from committing the crime. And that law is merciful. That law is merciful. So regarding the claim of racism, in this case, even if there is racism and even if there is injustice, it's irrelevant in this case, because Michael Taylor has confessed, along with the evidence, Michael Taylor has confessed to kidnapping 15-year-old Ann Harrison from in front of her home while she was waiting for a school bus, and taking her off with an accomplice, taking her and raping her, and then murdering her. So racism is irrelevant. It's not like he was railroaded by a white court that hated blacks, and he's an innocent person, and they found him guilty. If that were the case, then absolutely, till the moment of death, if the court system finds out that a convicted man is actually innocent, then of course an execution punishment should be stopped. But by the way, we convict the innocent way more frequently when we don't have the swift death penalty. Because when you don't have the swift death penalty, you have much more crime. And the more crime you have, the more likely it is that in the process, in the system, you're going to make mistakes. Because remember, it's no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system. And people get brought through the system like they're on conveyor belts. Okay. In the second appeal, the rapist murderer, Michael Taylor, has challenged his death sentence on the grounds that, and this is what we know Alito ruled on this, on the grounds that lethal injection carries the risk of undue suffering. Specifically, the three-drug cocktail of lethal chemicals used in Missouri executions, Michael Taylor said, that carries the risk of undue suffering. Imagine the nerve and the gall of a kidnapper, rapist, murderer who cut short the life of a 15-year-old, a teenage girl, and all the pain and suffering, the devastating emotional pain he inflicted on the family and the loved ones and the friends, and then the physical suffering and terror that he inflicted on this young girl and the pain, and they murdered her. And he has the gall to say, hey, a lethal injection carries the risk of undue suffering. It violates the U.S. Constitution's protection against cruel and unusual punishment. You can't even give him lethal injection? Even that's unconstitutional? What do you got to do, bore him to death? Come on. It's despicable. And Samuel Alito, if he knew the role of the death penalty, if he understood right from wrong regarding criminal justice, he would know that the death penalty is at the heart of a legal system. It's at the heart of a nation's legal system. It's at the heart of deterrence. And he would not, even if eventually he rules correctly on this, that Michael Taylor should be executed, which I expect he'll do. But he should not have sided with the most liberal wing of the court, including Ruth Bader Ginsburg, on a stay of execution for this rapist murderer because it's destructive. It postpones justice on two issues that are irrelevant. Regardless, the claims themselves undermine morality and the rule of law. And these are the kinds of claims that turn our justice system into a joke. And so it's tragic that Samuel Alito has ruled in that direction. Now, there are some Christians undoubtedly listening to the show thinking, well, isn't the Bible against the death penalty? And that's why I'm urging you to read this article. Now, if you don't have the internet, you can call us. In fact, let's say you make a pledge to our telethon and say, hey, please send me Bob's article on the death penalty, on New Testament support for execution. We've got one with Scott Peterson's mugshot right on the cover. You can ask for that one. And we also have a video, DVD or VHS, called God and the Death Penalty, New Testament Support for Capital Punishment. And if you could purchase that video, what is that, $24.95? And say, please count this toward the telethon. This is a special purchase I'm making in order to support the Bob and Your Lives February telethon to keep this radio show on for another year. But if you have the internet for free, you could Google it. Google God death penalty. And the number one out of 5.5 million hits, right above Justice Antonin Scalia's article on God and justice, God's justice and our justice. His article, very interesting. In fact, he quotes some of the same Bible verses I quoted. Not that, don't get carried away. Don't think he's a major ally in upholding God's principles of justice. No, much more typically, people will quote the Bible to defend their own view of justice, and in fact state directly that they don't believe that biblical justice is the model or the foundation that we must build on, but it's our own concoction. Our own justice system, which is no longer a justice system, now it's just a system. For example, Antonin Scalia has never ruled that an unborn child has a right to life and that the government does not have the right to kill an unborn child because that child has rights that were given to him from his creator. He's never ruled that. In fact, he stated that Roe v. Wade is bad law because of the way it was brought about. And in fact, it's a states' rights issue, and states could legalize abortion through their legislators. And so that's utterly destructive. Now, this article we have on New Testament support for execution, we asked the question, do any New Testament books or personalities, people, characters, support the death penalty? And the answer comes back, Jesus, Paul, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Hebrews, Revelation, and even an angel all say things in support of the death penalty. It's pretty cool. For example, in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul says, a governing official does not bear the sword in vain. The sword, that's a weapon for punishing criminals. They are beheaded with the sword. A governing official does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath. So even if the governing official is an atheist, if there's a convicted murderer and he then puts that murderer to death, thereby, by doing that, he is God's minister. That is, he is ministering out the justice that God has required of governments, that governments should minister justice. Now, some Christians reject the death penalty, including for this Michael Taylor, because they give a list of arguments from the Bible. They'll say Jesus repealed an eye for an eye punishment, which is not true. We look at each of these individually. They say Christians must forgive criminals, which is not true. They say Christians should not judge, which is not true. If that were true, the same Christians would not judge those who execute murderers. Christians should not repay evil for evil. They say only without sin can we enforce execution. And they say God commanded, thou shalt not kill. Now, our article on New Testament support for capital punishment, we go through each of those arguments and we show how they are invalid. For example, Christians must forgive criminals. Well, you're not God. Even if you believe in Christ, then you're a follower of Christ, but you're not God. And only God has the authority to forgive sins. And you could only forgive those who sin against you. And so if someone murders your neighbor, there are now two people who could forgive that the murderer, God and the one who was murdered. But you don't have the authority to forgive someone who steals from your neighbor. You could only forgive them to the extent that they hurt you. So if somebody's hurt your feelings, well, that's not a death penalty case when somebody hurts your feelings. But when somebody kills an innocent person, then that's a death penalty matter. And you might say, well, as Christians, we're obligated to forgive. Jesus said in Luke 17:3, if someone sins against you, if he repents, forgive him. See, if someone sins against you, and then Jesus doesn't say you automatically forgive them. He says, if someone sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Okay, now that's for private wrongs when people wrong you. They say something mean about you, and they say they're sorry, and you're to forgive them. Now, God never authorized judges to forgive criminals, quite the opposite. He says that their eye should show no pity. They should take no mercy, no ransom for the life of a murderer, but he shall surely be put to death. And regarding do not judge, that's a liberal cliche. That's Hillary's favorite Bible verse, ripped out of context, because Jesus said, don't judge if you're committing the same sin. So if you're a kidnapper, rapist, murderer, you have no standing to judge another murderer. You need to repent first. Take the log out of your own eye, and then you could judge your neighbor. And Jesus commanded, what is it, John 7:24? He commanded us to judge with righteous judgment. And so we go through all the arguments like God said, thou shalt not kill. That's not true. The Ten Commandments say thou shalt not murder. When Jesus quotes the Ten Commandments in the New Testament, in the Gospels, read it. He says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. Murder is the intentional, unlawful killing of an innocent person. And so God commanded in the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, thou shalt not murder. In Exodus chapter 21, a few verses later, he says, and if anyone murders his neighbor, he shall surely be put to death. Over and over and over. And through the New Testament, we have support for the death penalty from Jesus directly, from the apostles, from an angel. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 15 and Mark 7. He said, why do you disobey the commandment of God? Because of your own tradition. For God commanded, saying, and then he gives a list, and he includes various crimes, and Jesus says, God commanded, saying, let him be put to death. But you say, you find a way to discount the death penalty or God's commands. Now, many of God's commands were symbolic ordinances to Israel for the nation of Israel only. And he did not intend for those commands to be implemented by other nations of the world. Only for Israel, for their covenant, their national covenant relationship with Israel. But the death penalty command predates the nation of Israel by many generations, by centuries. God commanded to Noah that in Genesis 9, verse 6, if anyone kills another, by man shall his blood be shed. The Apostle Paul was on trial for his life in front of a governor in Caesarea. And in Acts 25:11, he says, if I have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to being executed. I don't object. Now, wait a minute. If the death penalty was immoral, if it was inherently immoral, Paul wouldn't want his judge to commit a sin. So he's on trial for his own life, and he volunteers support of the death penalty. Hey, I don't object to the death penalty, even if I'm the one to be killed, if I've committed anything deserving of death. However, I'm not guilty of these charges. Right? In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul wrote, do not avenge yourself. Now, this is private. Repay no one evil for evil. Somebody wrongs you, don't be bitter and seek vengeance. If somebody steals from you, they steal your car, you know who did it, don't steal their car. Repay no one evil for evil. Do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Now that's the very end of Romans chapter 12. In the very beginning of Romans 13 says that the place for wrath is with the government. Let every soul be subject to the government, to governing authorities. For rulers, they are supposed to be a terror, not to those who obey the law, but to those who are criminals, to evil. For the governing authority is God's minister. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. So the Bible, and that's in the New Testament. We had a caller a while back saying the death penalty was only for the Old Testament. And I said, well, let me quote Romans. And he said, yeah, the Old Testament. The Old Testament, Romans is a foundational epistle in the New Testament. And through the New Testament, in fact, our video, God and the Death Penalty, New Testament Support for Capital Punishment, it's a two-hour video. We've sold thousands of these over the years. People have said it's an absolutely fabulous Bible study that helps them to be better able to witness and evangelize and share the gospel with their friends because they're coming from a position of strength, understanding the Word of God. So if you're a bit unsure as to all the ins and outs of the death penalty issue from the Bible, please do yourself a favor. Get online. Go to Google, google.com, and Google the words God death penalty. You'll see 5.5 million hits. Justice Antonin Scalia wrote the article number 2. And here at Bob and Yurt Live, it's our article that's number 1. It's been number 1 for years. And it needs to be because it's a solid Bible study on the death penalty and how God supports the death penalty. The book of Hebrews, that's in the New Testament, tells us that anyone who disobeys Moses' law dies, that's present tense, without mercy on the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. I mean, that comes right out of the Mosaic law. And then the author of Hebrews goes on to say, since we have this death penalty, with two or three witnesses. And by the way, that doesn't mean eyewitnesses, because in the Mosaic law, you can see it's eyewitnesses or physical evidence. Circumstantial and physical evidence can also convict someone of murder and a capital crime. And then the author of Hebrews says, well, we have the death penalty for those who break the law in this life. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who rejects Jesus Christ? So execution teaches men the certainty of God's eternal justice and God's eternal punishment. And when governments neglect the death penalty, then people scoff at the second death. More people will think Judgment Day is a joke when there's no Judgment Day on earth. So if you call us for our telethon and say, hey, I'd like to help out toward the goal of $10,000, every February we have a Bob and Yurt Live telethon to help keep this radio show on the air in Colorado. We are on a 50,000-watt AM station. There's only a handful of Christian programs in the country that are on 50,000-watt AM stations. KLTT is the most powerful Christian radio station in America. It's low on the AM dial, 670 AM with 50,000 watts. It covers almost all of Colorado and gets into seven neighboring states. And you know what? That's extraordinary. So it's a wonderful opportunity for the teaching of this show to get out on this radio signal. And of course, being on the radio helps us. That's like our base for then taking each show and putting it on the internet at kgov.com. So even if you listen over the internet and you support us every September when we raise money for the internet broadcast to stay on the air for another year, you could consider helping us too, helping our Colorado listeners. But really in Colorado, we're asking you guys to help this show, Bob and Yurt Live, stay on the air for another year, those who listen via the radio. Okay, so please call us, 800-836-9278, with a donation, a pledge, or go online to KGov, KGOV.com. And tune in to Gino Geraci's show today at 4:30. Maybe he'll get me on a little early. I'm not sure. But 94.7 FM at KRKS today, 4:30 this afternoon, 94.7 FM, Gino Geraci. That'll be a lot of fun. I want to let you know, my son Josiah and his beautiful wife Jana have moved back to Colorado. After 2 years working with my brother in New Jersey on home improvements, windows and doors, like contractor work, my son Josiah has moved back to Colorado. They got here yesterday, and already today he's on a job site working. So that's great. But if you need a good worker, call our office, Bob and Yurt Live, and my son is looking for permanent work out here, or a job if you got a job. Hey, a Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, the best Christian school I've ever seen. So check them out, Maranatha, and visit us at Denver Bible Church this Sunday.